Suddenly these make me a little more nervous. Hello, everybody. My name is Rob. I'm an addict.
Rob.
And I am very grateful to be here. It's an honor to be here. I'm amazed that I'm here. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I have a sponsor. I work the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. My sponsor has a sponsor. I sponsor people. And without Narcotics Anonymous in my life, I firmly believe that I wouldn't be alive. I love this fellowship. It's amazing. And, you know, I was out this morning at about maybe 7 or 7:30. I went out for a run on the boardwalk. And, you know, we've got this convention, obviously, and all these people are in town. And I'm down on the boardwalk, and it looks like the prison just released. You know what I mean? It's like burly guys and tattoos and, you know, a bunch of heavies out on the boardwalk, and everyone's smiling. Hey, how you doing, man? You know, how you doing? Yeah, everyone's friendly. And that's a testament to Narcotics Anonymous and what we do. And, you know, I had a chance to think. I was sitting back on the water, and I found out my topic was a spiritual journey. I thought it was a different one. And so I was sitting out on the back deck looking out over the water thinking about my journey. And, you know, I was introduced to the 12-step fellowship in 1999, and I just recently celebrated 6 years clean, if that tells you anything. And I'll take you back to, a little bit to the beginning, and I'm not going to talk too much about what it was like, but for purposes of identification, I think it's important, because the journey has changed significantly. My journey into recovery began on a Sunday night. I was having dinner with my father. And at that dinner, I had drank a lot of whiskey. And after the dinner, my father said, you know, look, son, you have a real problem. You're an alcoholic. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I've got a business, and I don't drink at breakfast, and I have employees, and I pay my taxes, and I'm not an alcoholic. And he's like, look, I just watched you drink all that liquor, and clearly you are an alcoholic. And I said, all right, man, here's the deal. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm going to quit drinking during the week. Okay, this was like a Sunday or Monday night. And he said, all right, let's see how you do. Wednesday night, I got a DUI. Okay, I made it 2 days. And being a good addict, I quickly surmised that maybe I do have a drinking problem, but I certainly don't have a cocaine problem. And that started this path, you know. I had a little office down in Florida, and I went to the office, and there was a guy who went to meetings. So I went to a meeting with him, and I never forget. I looked up on the wall, and the steps were written on the wall, and you know, it just all seemed just bizarre, really. You know, people were talking about God and spiritual principles, and I was like, man, what is this about? You know, this is not for me. Am I going to have to go preach on the street? You know, and I don't want any part of this, you know. So I left, and I didn't stick around. And at that time, I had a fiance, I had a business, my life was relatively in order. I had just gotten this DUI. And without going into the full details of the story, let's fast forward a little bit. I got divorced. I got homeless. I got jail. I got multiple institutions, psychiatric centers. I got Narcotics Anonymous. And I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, and the seed was planted, you know. And I went into these meetings, and I heard people talking about God and spiritual principles. And at that time, my disease had progressed, and it was no longer a little bit of powder cocaine. It was heroin. It was anything I could put in my body. It was crack. It was stealing money from my mother's purse. It was stealing money from my friends. It was doing whatever I had to do to get drugs. And my life was consumed with ways and means to get more drugs. And I did what I had to do, and I would have crawled through a sewer to get my drug of choice. I didn't have a bad childhood. You know, my dad was kind of a dick. He wasn't like really a nice guy, but he didn't beat me, and he gave me a good education. He taught me some values, you know. But something happened to me, And something happens when I put drugs in my body. I just can't stop. And so my journey at that point in time in my life was one of getting and wanting and needing and getting more, and what's in it for me, and how can I get whatever I have to get from you to get what I have to get to make me feel okay. And that journey that I was on was one where I woke up thinking about drugs. I went to bed thinking about drugs. I went often spent my time driving in a car thinking about how I could kill myself and not make it look like a suicide. It was degradation, it was shame, it was guilt, it was loneliness, it was despair. And that was active addiction, you know, and it says in our basic text, the only alternatives to recovery are jails, institutions, degradation, and death, right? And so I was on this path of just complete degradation and had been Narcan'd a few times. And it was a pretty miserable, sad, lonely existence. And one of my good friends is in here today, Jack. And we found recovery together, and we found relapse together. And we used to love to go to Baltimore. That was our thing. You guys that are maybe from Baltimore, we used to love to go to Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Jack and I would go to Baltimore, and the car would be on empty, and we'd run out of gas on the way, and, you know, we'd have no money, and we'd do the things we had to do, like, you know, to get what we had to get. And it was exciting, you know. And I remember riding with Jack and saying, is this the life, you know, are we going to go all in? Are we going to be criminals? If we're going to do this, you know, is this what, and he said, no, man, we're not going to do this. You know, I'm not going to do this. I got to stop. And I think that point, that moment when Jack said those words to me, that it was like, okay, I'm on board with stopping too. And we had both been introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, and we'd seen the gifts of Narcotics Anonymous, and our lives had gotten better in Narcotics Anonymous. And he ended up getting clean. I ended up going to jail. I ended up getting clean in jail. I ended up getting out of jail. And I had this moment where I believe, like, this spiritual journey had begun in jail, and it started when I said, you know, this shit has got to stop. And that's all of our step zeros when we say, you know, this shit has got to stop. And then recovery can begin, you know. And I remember being in jail, and I'd written a friend to contact World Services and send me literature. And I had a step working guide, a basic text. I just heard today, and I went around the jail, and I found some other guys who were interested in recovery. That were, you know, they wanted to change, they wanted to stop. And we'd have these little group meetings, and we'd sit down, we'd read the basic text, and we'd write on step one, and we'd share with each other our experience with step one, and we'd write on step two, and, you know, on and on through the steps. And we didn't do a fifth step together, but I did that in the mail with a sponsor. And anyway, I ended up getting out of jail, and I was armed with the most challenging things is, you know, not using, you know. Don't use no matter what never worked for me. I couldn't don't use no matter what. You know, I had to have the jail. I had to have the rehab. And I'm so amazed by people that can come into this fellowship and hear the words, don't use no matter what, and do it and rely on each other to stay clean. You know, my experience wasn't that. I found my clean time. It started in jail, and I got out, and I did what we suggest along my spiritual journey. I got a sponsor, and I practiced the most basic spiritual principle of all, and I'd argue the absolute most important spiritual principle of all is honesty. And I practiced honesty, and up until that point, I was a liar. I couldn't be honest with anybody. I was too ashamed to tell you how I was really feeling. I was too ashamed to tell you I was hurting or I needed help. I was too ashamed to tell you that my business was failing and I didn't have any money and I didn't know what to do and I didn't know where to turn. And ultimately, from not doing that, that had given me relapse after relapse after relapse, because the only solution to my problem was picking up a drug to make myself feel better. So this time around, I got out of jail realizing that I needed to practice the spiritual principle of honesty. And I got a sponsor, and he's still my sponsor today. And we practiced work in the steps, and we practiced the principles in the steps. And my life got better so quickly. It was amazing. I got out of jail. I went to a meeting. I said, "Hey, my name's Rob. I'm an addict. I'm scared to death. I just got out of jail. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go." And this amazing thing happened, and it happens to us in these rooms, is the people come over, and they give you a hug. And they tell you, you know, keep coming back. And they tell you, come with us. You know, come to dinner with us. Spend time with us. And then you make these connections, and this spiritual journey begins. And you start practicing. I started practicing honesty and open-mindedness and willingness and kindness and compassion and love and generosity. And when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, those words, how was that going to keep me from putting a crack pipe in my mouth? What does love have to do with not putting a crack pipe in my mouth? What does kindness have to do with that? You know, how is that going to help me stay clean? And now I'm, you know, along this path, and I'm seeing all these people on the boardwalk, and here I am today, and everyone's smiling and laughing and kind, extending a kind word. And here we are along this journey, and I think the most wonderful thing it says in our basic text is we come to know happiness, joy, and freedom, right? We come to know happiness, joy, and freedom. It doesn't say we will catch fleeting glimpses of happiness, joy, and freedom. It says we come to know it. Okay? And how do we come to know it? I come to know it by practicing these principles. You know, and when I'm not thinking about what I don't have and what I need, but I'm thinking and doing something for you and thinking about what I can do for you, I feel really, really good about me. And so that's what I've learned in recovery. And, you know, you hear these sayings, you know, it's like, you know, more will be revealed, right? And like for year one, it's like, I think I know everything, right? Like I got this. I understand recovery. I know what this is about. I know what I got to do. But it's like the longer I stick around, the more I realize I don't know. And there's so much that I don't know that I don't know. And it's like I sit in a meeting and oftentimes I don't even want to share because I want to hear something that someone's going to say so that I can relate. And so that maybe I can learn something new that I can better understand. And, you know, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the still sick and suffering addict, right? Right? And up until pretty recently, I thought that meant our primary purpose was to help the sick and suffering addict in active addiction out there still with a needle in his arm and a crack pipe who's just coming in. But the fact of the matter is the still sick and suffering addict can be any one of us at any day, at any time, whether we got 30 minutes or 30 years, and I have a responsibility to be there for that person. And when I am there for that person, I feel better about me. And I don't know, how am I doing on time?
She'll let you know.
Okay, beautiful, thanks. All right, I was told I got a few minutes left. I'm going to share one story, and I'm going to try to encapsulate this in the 10 minutes, and it's a pretty important part of my spiritual journey. I was in jail, and I told you a little bit about my father. He was a decent father. He, you know, sent me to good schools and provided for me, and he was kind of it's not really nice. He'd like to raise his voice, but he was a decent man, and I had stolen from him. He'd watch me relapse. He'd sent me to rehab. He'd showed up at the family education days in rehab. And he'd had enough of my numerous incarcerations. And my last stint in jail before I got clean, this was maybe 7.5 years ago, he sent me a letter in jail and said he wished he'd never met my mom. He wished I had never been born. And as a son in jail, your self-esteem is pretty low, and you know, you don't feel very good about yourself to begin with. And those words were very painful, you know, and they hurt. But I understood, you know. And as I said, I was working this program in jail with people in jail, working steps. And, you know, I had this group. and we were being honest with each other. And so I shared this with my group, you know, and I was able to get it outside of my head and talk to some other people about it. And, you know, he didn't write me after that. He didn't correspond with me after that. And I got out of jail and I started working a program, and he reached out to me, and we reconnected. And maybe year three of being clean, we got together and saw each other and started rebuilding the relationship. And in year five, we'd been talking quite frequently. I'd been visiting him in Florida. In year five, he called me and said he had gotten a diagnosis for cancer. And so I got on a plane and I went down. I met the doctors and I met the oncologists, and I went to the appointments, and I was in a position in my life where, because of Narcotics Anonymous, I could show up for him. And I tried to encourage my father to come live with me, and he wouldn't do it. He's a stubborn man, and he really had no friends or family in Florida. So I would fly down and visit and go to the doctor's appointments, and he'd go through the chemo, and I watched him get really, really sick and lose a lot of weight. And stubborn man, he wouldn't come live with me. And got a call. One day, he had gotten into an auto accident, and they said I needed to get down right away. He had this massive infection in his neck. And so I flew down to Florida, and he was in this hospital. He was in this bed. He was delirious and out of it. He had this blood infection. It was really, really bad. And I'm alone in Florida with my dad, who's dying, you know, in this bed. And they're saying he's going to get better. And I'm scared to death, you know. I don't know what to do. I've never handled that before. I'm an only child. And so 3 days into sitting around the clock in the hospital bed with him, they tell me he's going to recover. And then all of a sudden they say, you know, we need to talk about hospice. You need to put your dad in hospice. And it's only a decision that you can make. And I said, well, what do you mean only a decision I can make? How do I handle this? And I left, and I remember I looked in the, I went online, I found an NA meeting, and I went to an NA meeting, and I just sat there, and they opened up the meeting for topics, and this woman raised her hand, and she said, I want to talk about death and dying and grief and recovery. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, this is God, you know. And so I shared my experience, and I shared what's happening, and I didn't make that decision to put him in the hospice the day, but the next day, people from Narcotics Anonymous showed up at the hospital, people I'd never met. Showed up at the hospital. People were calling me all day at the hospital. And my sponsor was there. My friends were there. The Narcotics Anonymous surrounded me, and I put my father in hospice. I was able to sit with my father for 10 days while he was dying and have him lucid and be able to be a decent human being, be able to be a son. And that's my spiritual journey, is I'm able to show up and be a decent human being and give without expecting anything in return. And without this fellowship, without being taught those things, I don't think my life would be rich with meaning. And today I feel like I have the most wonderful life in the world. And it isn't about money. It isn't about things. It isn't about commas in a checking account. It's about the relationships with the other people. If you're new to Narcotics Anonymous and you're afraid to reach out and call someone or talk to someone, please, by all means, call me. I'll give you my number. I love this fellowship. It's saved my life. And thanks for letting me share.
Oh, you want to put a new one down?
Rob R.
Put mine over here.